morning and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today we're going to talk about volunteers. Are there enough to go around? I'm Helen Ackerman for George Mason University. When President Reagan introduced his most recent cuts in funding for social services, he called for a new spirit of volunteerism. But where are these volunteers to come from? Can people already feeling the economic pinch afford to volunteer time to serve their community? Will businesses and government agencies be willing to allow their staffs to donate time and services to fill the holes left by the budget cuts? Here today to discuss some of these issues are Steve Delfin from the Communications Department of the United Way of America and Cynthia Langfelt, Volunteer Coordinator for the Juvenile Court in Fairfax County. Cynthia, who traditionally are the people that volunteer?
Well, we're finding a lot of different people are volunteering now. It's not the little old lady in tennis shoes with the big paper bag and the do-gooder that everyone seems to think of as a typical volunteer. We get a lot of people that are looking for something, and it's not motivated by just doing good for other people, but by getting in and getting some experience in the field that they want. And we're also using a lot of senior citizens who have so much skill and who are just sitting in and not using that skills and should be utilized and want to be utilized in a meaningful way. And so those are now our typical volunteers, people, women who want to get back into business and want a way back into it, so they're volunteering to get these kinds of skills. And the college students who want to find out if this is really what I want to do the rest of my life. My best volunteer changed her major from social work to accounting. She says, I just can't do this the rest of my life, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to find out before I spent 4 years studying something I can't do.
Well, that's interesting. So women going back into the workforce is not hurting you as much as maybe expected.
Well, we're having to be more creative because typically the volunteer day or the day that we need volunteers is from 9 to 5. And no, we don't have those people now because they're busy from 9 to 5. So the agencies are going to have to be more creative, doing a little adjusting themselves in order to sort of fit the hours to the times when volunteers are available to come in.
Steve, are you finding this problem, or is United Way finding this problem across the country, the same kind of
situation? Oh, absolutely. We just did a study called The Future World of Work, which talked about the return of women to the workforce and the fact that the workplace is becoming more of the socializing agent in more people's lives. What we're finding to help some of the nonprofit organizations that need volunteers are that some businesses and corporations and even small businesses are doing loaned executive type programs, management assistance type programs, and this is kind of a new phenomenon in the fact that it's growing. It's always been there. It's been there for a long time, but we're seeing more and more corporations and businesses responding to this call for increased corporate social responsibility. And along those lines, we're trying to work, when I say we, United Way, is trying to work both on a national and local level to get corporations to understand the need for these kinds of programs in the local communities and to take an active participatory role in the betterment of local communities through nonprofits.
How does the loaned executive program work? If an agency, for instance, had a real need for an accountant, would they be able to perhaps get the services of an accountant through a corporation?
Very, very much so. Actually, the program, as it's called Management Assistance Programs, and it was pioneered in New York City. And the idea was to link the expertise of companies, corporations, small businesses, accounting firms, whatever, with nonprofit groups that United Way in that particular city was unable to fund because they just didn't have enough money. We never have enough money to fund all the agencies in any community. So the idea was to try to develop these linkages and to try to help these organizations in their areas of accounting, finance, public relations, advertising, if they need that kind of thing, volunteer development, perhaps, where we would use a management consultant to try to help the boards of local volunteer organizations increase their productivity and transfer those skills they have from the business community into the role as volunteers. So that is how the program developed, and we're seeing that in Cincinnati and in about 25 cities across the country now, and it started from a seed in New York.
Do you think, Cynthia, that President Reagan's spirit of volunteerism is going to be able to make up for the cuts in the budget?
Not, we certainly won't be able to fill all the services or meet all the needs through volunteers. I don't see that as happening, no. I think also he needs to look at what he's doing for volunteers. He's asking a lot of the volunteer force in America, and yet we're looking at not very much support for the volunteers. Along the mileage deduction on your income tax.
I agree.
And this kind of thing. I think the Congress is going to have to look very carefully at that to give people some help. I have a lot of problems. I don't have funding to reimburse my volunteers for mileage. And the people that volunteer, my college students, don't have the money. So, you know, I think that we need to look very carefully at that kind of thing. I wanted to say a little something to what Steve said. I've been involved in involving corporations in the volunteer field, too. And we've looked at some creative programs, too, where, for instance, there's a Braille typewriter, and if some of the secretaries have a few extra minutes, the company allows them, if they finish their work, to go in and put books in Braille. Or they bring kids on their lunch hour to a company that will tutor the children. So those are some other creative ways of corporations helping out in volunteer efforts, too.
And often in polls that are done that survey the number of volunteers or to try to find out how many people volunteer or perceive themselves as volunteers, people who are often involved in those kinds of programs don't even see themselves as volunteers. And it's not just in those mm-hmm. kinds of programs. It's often people don't even think of a church-related activity or baking brownies for a Girl Scout.
Serving on a board.
Or serving on a board. You know, we've done a survey at United Way, and we found that to be true. People don't even understand that they're doing volunteer work, or they may not want to admit that they're doing volunteer work. It's interesting, though, a recent Gallup study that just came out about a month and a half ago, shows that with a little probing and a little explanation of what it is a volunteer is all about, that about 52% of all adult Americans say they have volunteered sometime in the past year. And out of those, that 52%, out of the total, 31% volunteer at least 7 hours a week or more. And the profile of that person is changing. As Cynthia said, we're seeing different types of volunteers, people who are taking time off from their jobs, people who are trying to transfer their job-related skills to volunteer work. So I think that's important.
And then, too, I also have volunteers that work with computers or that work in a field where it's not people-oriented. So they want something else. Their job isn't that way. They don't get these kinds of things through their job. So they turn to me for some sort of people-oriented kinds of volunteer work.
That's very interesting. And that's a huge proportion of the population that's already giving some of their time to volunteering, which makes you wonder.
And it's probably
how
even
much
more than
more
that.
There is there.
That's exactly
to,
right.
To tap. What kind of agencies do you find, Steve, that need volunteers most?
Well, I think obviously the agencies that are involved in direct human care services, where they need people to go out and drive the truck for a Meals on Wheels program, or to get the van out for the blood program, or in this case to get the volunteers to work with the children, or those types of programs that are perhaps in less desirable neighborhoods where it's very difficult to get people to go into an impoverished area and work in these kinds of grassroots neighborhood programs. I think it's easy, and it's very likely that you could convince somebody to transfer those management skills and those kind of corporate skills, especially if you're getting time off from a company. But I still think it's going to be very difficult, as it always has been, to convince people of that real grassroots needs for those hands-on type of agencies, direct service programs. And I think that need will always be there.
And there's also a commitment. Once I hook a volunteer up with a kid, I need that commitment for a minimum of 6 months to a year. We can't play around with their clients' feelings. I can't have someone say, I'll do this for 2 or 3 weeks. Okay, it's a long-term commitment to someone. So that's another thing to think of, whether
yes.
people can make that long-term commitment.
Yes, and that brings another question to my mind. Do you have to spend much time training volunteers?
Yes, we do. It takes a lot of staff time to train. Volunteers do not save time in our agency. Okay, what they do is allow us to give better quality service to the kids. They are not doing it. For every hour that a staff person supervises that volunteer. That sort of blossoms out into 3 or 4 hours a week with the kid. So that's the way we look at it. But it takes a great deal of time. You can't, you have a supervisor, I have a supervisor. We all need to know how we're doing on our job and whether we're doing it correctly and some help in learning how to do our job. So it does take time to use volunteers. They need supervision.
I think the way to approach the training of a volunteer is to approach it in the same manner you would approach the training of an employee. You need to give them a meaningful thing to do. That, in turn, gets the commitment long term. You need to have goals and objectives for them to reach. You need to give them feedback as to how they're doing. And in cases where they're not doing their job, you need to tell them so. You need to tell them that they're not there simply to take up space so they can put down something that they've volunteered for XYZ organization. You need to get that commitment, and the way to do that is through meaningful work, meaningful volunteer work.
In fact, we've used the term paid and unpaid staff. It helps the staff sort of put it in perspective for what they need to do with volunteers.
You bring up an interesting point there about motivating volunteers. How do you find your volunteers?
I recruit in the colleges. I go out, and I go out and speak to different organizations, senior citizens groups. The Golden Gazette here in Fairfax County has been a tremendous help to me. And I guess here's a good place to bring up how volunteers and agencies get hooked up together.
Yes.
Each jurisdiction has their own VAC, a Voluntary Action Center, that serves as a clearinghouse for people who want to volunteer and for agencies who need volunteers. All the agencies keep their job descriptions on file at the different VACs, and people who want to volunteer but really don't know where to go or in which agencies would be able to use them the most or the best, they go to the local Voluntary Action Center and are given the names of several agencies for them to go and interview. I got one of my best volunteers from the VAC agency. He's a retired gentleman that works full-time for me now as a support counselor.
Oh, I see. That's terrific. What about United Way? Does it have ways to get agencies together?
Yes, we do. But just to spin off of that, I think it's interesting that only 6% of the people who volunteer because they've seen some kind of ad or a message in the media. I think it's something like 45-46% volunteer simply because somebody asked them to do it.
And most of them volunteer from a need of their own, really.
Do you find that true?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that's good because then that is the motivating factor towards getting them involved.
Well, picking up on what you said about we're kind of different in the way that we, as United Way, utilize volunteers. The groups that we've been talking about traditionally are the agencies that we service and support, and we try to help them in volunteer development in the ways that we've been talking about before. We utilize kind of a different type of volunteer that's involved in our allocations process, where we try to determine where the money that local United Ways raise should go. And we do that in a lot of different ways: active recruitment, through the newspaper, through word of mouth. We try to involve a cross-section of the community in that allocations process to try to determine where the money goes. And we're also active in board development. We have 20 centers across the country, thanks to a Kellogg Foundation grant, which, like I said before, tries to train business and community leaders to transfer those kinds of skills they have from their jobs or their role in the community to their role as volunteers. And we're finding that program has become very, very popular, because they in turn go back with those skills and train those volunteers, and it's a filtering down effect to the agencies, and that's where we have the most impact, is in leadership development, consequently the development of volunteers on a local level.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, believe it or not, but I'd like to thank you both very much for being with us
today.
Thank you for asking.
You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, production coordinator Pat Ping. For information about our guests or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Helen Ackerman for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.